Hello, I'm Father Ray Petrucci. Welcome to Thoughts for the Week. Before I introduce our co-host and guest today, we would like to turn to you and ask you about the possibility of contacting us. Oh, you don't have to call. You can write us or email us, and we'd like to hear from you, your thoughts, your ideas, or suggestions for the program. If you would like to send a letter, please do so to the following: Thoughts for the Week, Post Office Box 7466, Greenwich, Connecticut 06836. That's 06836. If you prefer to email us, please do so at the following address: clemons10@aol.com. That's CLEMONS, the number 10, at AOL.com. While you're on the computer, I invite you to go to our internet magazine, Spirituality for Today. And besides features and articles, you could also hear our radio program, Thoughts for the Week. And it's archived, so there are all sorts of shows you might be interested in listening to. Now, the address for Spirituality for Today is at spirituality.org. That's spirituality.org. Now, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Mrs. Dorothy Riera. Dorothy, welcome.
Thank you, Father. Always happy to be here with you and our guest.
And our guest is none other than Lorraine Marone.
Thank you.
And Lorraine is a campus minister at Sacred Heart University here in Fairfield, Connecticut, where we tape our program. So welcome, Lorraine.
Thank you for having me, Father. I appreciate this.
No, absolutely delighted to have you here today. And campus ministry is always an important topic, something that has a similarity to it, I guess, throughout the years, but also always something unique and something that addresses the particular time that we are in. Well, let me introduce our audience to you by asking you to perhaps share some of your background, how you came to Sacred Heart University.
Sure, Father. I went to Catholic school most of my life, with the exception of 3 years in high school. I am a Rhode Islander by birth. We just talked a few minutes that I have a Boston accent, so I don't know where it came from, other than the fact that I love the New England Patriots. And I don't say that too much around campus, because I know this is Giants country for the most part, but anyway. I went to Catholic school and also a Catholic university as well, Salve Regina in Newport, mm-hmm. and it's so similar to this campus. It's just so beautiful there as it is here, with the exception of having the Atlantic Ocean.
The water
outside your window. It's really nice. But I did not go to college in a traditional way. I went when my children were young. I had three little kids at home. I went as a mom. The youngest one was 4 years old at the time. And so I couldn't go. You know, my dad died when he was young and this kind of thing. So I was very glad for the opportunity to be able to go then. So I spent about 6.5 years going back and forth from Newport to Westerly and earned a degree in English with a concentration in writing. Finished in 1991, and then I wish I could have continued again, but family obligations, and then it was time for the children to go to college, you know, and as we know, that's a pretty big deal in a family. Mm-hmm. So I started out as a newspaper editor for a short period of time, but then I think God tapped me on the shoulder and he said, I want you to work for me for a little while. So for the next 20 years, I was a director of faith formation in various parishes, mostly in the Diocese of Norwich, because I was at the eastern end of the state. Yeah. And then my daughter, who was here, she said, Mom, why don't you come and live closer to us? And so I did, and she was the one who saw the advertisements of Sacred Heart. And what attracted me were the retreats. I've been doing retreats for a long, long time. I love them. They're creative. It's just a gift that God has given me. And so I used to do retreats for the Diocese of Norwich. In fact, doing another retreat because parishes still hire me to come to their parish and do things, confirmation retreats, gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so I've been here for 2 years, and I'm happy to be here.
Well, great. We're delighted to have you here, too. And I guess now Father Roby is the campus minister. He hasn't been here that long either, has he?
Not a year, not quite a year.
Not quite a year. Okay, well, we've got a bunch of, it's rookie with a lot of experience.
Oh, he's a lot of fun.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
But it's a great resource, campus ministry, for the students, especially the first year they come into a different environment out of high school. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very raw, and I think the campus ministry does an awful lot of good work for them.
We do. Also, I want to give a shout out to, we also have another new member of the staff, Devin Kemp. She just joined us as the second campus minister, and it's so funny because she's young and I'm the senior partner, so to speak, but we call each other Martha and Mary. We're very much like Martha and Mary in Luke's gospel. She, God bless her, she loves to talk. She's very full of energy, you know, and so she's the one that plays Mary's role in the gospel, sitting at the feet of Jesus, talking to people all the time, and I'm Martha in the kitchen, you know, getting everything ready, preparing everything.
Organizing.
Exactly. And so that's what we kind of tease each other. We're Martha and Mary in the campus.
It's a nice combination.
It really works.
I can imagine.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, let me ask a little bit about, you know, could we just, Dorothy brought up the idea of the newness of the campus for obviously freshmen coming in. Mm-hmm. Even if they're local to a degree, there's, you got to find out where you are, what you're doing, and what's available. What gifts initially do you think you bring to the new student?
Myself? It's the mom. I really believe that they hired me for two reasons. One was the retreats, and the other one was to bring that nurturing element into the office. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, lots of times, and not just with me, but for all of us, all four of us who are in the office, Larry Carroll included, you know, the students will just tap on the door and just say, you got a minute to talk? Mm-hmm. And so we do. We just shut that door and just talk to them, you know, see what their thoughts are and just try to help them as much as we can. So the other thing, I'm an Italian, and so food is also a very big element in the campus ministry office. We have the candy bowl. We have Bagel Wednesdays. I've made fried dough and the chocolate chip cookies and all that kind of stuff. And then the smell must go outside the door because they're all coming in and say, do you have something to eat here? So that, I think, we really do strive, and it's easy for all of us to make it like their second home. Mm-hmm. That's very, very important.
Well, I think that whole idea of feeling comfortable to approach and also talk about, you know, things that are happening. Mm-hmm. I spent a couple of years at Western Connecticut State University in their Newman Center. Okay. And you're right, we feed them. You got to feed them.
Right, exactly.
And they come. Yep. If you feed them, they'll come.
That's exactly.
And that the place itself could become a very, very special oasis, I think, sometimes.
Right.
And I'm just wondering what kinds of things that you're offering for them. I believe I was reading about a bread spreads and roundtable program.
The breads and spreads, there's been a lot of transition, actually, in the last couple of years. And so some of the programs we've put sort of on hold for a little while. Because sometimes things are cyclical. They just
run
out of steam, and then you try to, right. And we have now this peer ministry team. It used to be called the core team. Last year there were 6 of them. Mm-hmm. This year there are 19 of them.
Wow.
And oh my gosh, what a blessing. They are just the backbone of the entire campus ministry program. Mm. They're our ambassadors. They're the ones that, I mean, we can guide them with the retreats, but they plan them. They plan them. They execute them. You know, they facilitate them at the different places that we go to. So, you know, they are really an amazing.
And these are retreats for the students of Sacred Heart or outside Sacred Heart?
Right. No, these are the retreats. Some of what we do, you know, again, like I was hired, as I say, for the retreats, but the retreats seem to be a lot of it. But then with this 19, we expanded it. And so they came up with, this group of 19 came up with 4 more areas of concentration, so to speak. Mm. There's service, there's social justice, there's prayer, and there's interfaith. Mm-hmm. So they're all, you know, scattered into their different groups, and they do their own thing as far as planning their own activities. They're also on the retreat team, so they're a busy bunch. Mm. But they're wonderful. They are just the cream of the crop. We love them dearly, and they do a lot.
And how does this, you know, because as you say, they're very busy. Academically, mm-hmm. they have challenges to keep on with certain credits. If you're a full-time student, right. what do you take now, 12, 15 credits
yeah,
a semester, yeah. something like that, yeah. mm-hmm. plus your extracurricular activities. Mm-hmm. That takes mm-hmm. a lot of time.
I think that was part the reason for the 19 of them, because they can't, you know, and they, as much as they want to, they mm-hmm. can't.
Yeah.
And so when we put out the word, we need X, Y, and right. Z, who comes, comes. The other thing I know that Larry has done, we have T-shirts. The PMT team were given T-shirts, and I know Dr. Patil has made mention of the fact that he loves it when he sees this sea of red shirts, uh-huh. you know, whether it be at masses, you know, as ambassadors, at the open houses, they wear their shirts, and this way they're identified. Even the liturgical team at Mass has their own set of shirts.
I may have lost the initials there and what they mean.
The PMT is Peer Ministry Team.
Ah, okay.
Used to be called CORE. People would identify it mm-hmm. years ago as mm-hmm. the CORE team, mm-hmm. but Larry changed it over to Peer Ministry Team, PMT.
Hmm.
And this is all the students throughout first year through senior year at the university?
No, I'm sorry. They apply for this.
Oh,
this is
okay.
an application. In the spring, mm-hmm. We put the word out that we need, you know, PM ministers, and many, I can't remember how many. We must have had, oh my gosh, it was well over 30 mm-hmm. That applied, which was really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mm-hmm. open to anyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, the door is open. You know, it's open every day. We start at 8:30 in the morning, and we close around 6 o'clock at night, and they're in and out all day long. So they know, you know, when this time is coming, when they can apply. And so they're interviewed. You know, we ask them what they would like to do and this kind of thing. And then, you know, we 19 is a great number, so we've increased that.
Yeah, I started a program by asking your background, but what about the background of those peer? Were these people involved mm-hmm. in their own parishes, or what is it about them?
We do see a lot who come in from Catholic schools, mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And so, yes, I mean, they're creative. That's the best way to describe them. Mm-hmm. They're very creative, very busy. We have nursing students. We have social, mm-hmm. you know, all the kinds of curriculum around.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but they come in and they offer their gifts, and they just, they want to serve. And basically, it's, you know, do you want to serve and share your faith? And that's really all we ask for.
And I see that you mentioned 4 points, that they have social justice.
Mm-hmm.
Interfaith is very interesting because for them, we live in
mm-hmm.
a very diverse world.
Mm-hmm.
So to encompass everybody's faith and respect them,
that
I think is a challenge, and so wonderful that they're out to do that. There was
social justice, service, prayer. Interfaith, mm-hmm. And we're hoping you know, to eventually have an interfaith council.
Mm-hmm.
We do have UC 112 is the Muslim prayer room
mm-hmm.
that's set aside.
Mm-hmm.
So this interfaith initiative is, you know, we're just starting with it, and we hope to see it grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. What I was beginning, and again, with the interfaith aspect to it, do non-Catholics become involved in the retreats or other programs?
They can.
Or?
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. they can. The door mm-hmm. is open to everyone.
Now, the retreats, what kind of topics do you usually cover in regard to retreats? I know this is your baby.
It is my baby, yes. Thank you, Father. Well, we start with, actually, when I pitch the retreats to the parents at orientation and the new students coming in, because I'm an English major, I'll start with a vocabulary word.
Okay.
I'll say, okay, the verb to retreat means to get away mm-hmm. from. So they're getting away from their normal routine on that particular weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so we start with the freshman retreat, which is in early October. The topic is friendship among themselves and with God.
Mm-hmm.
We go to Camp Washington in Litchfield. It's a camping experience, but I don't want to give the impression it's pitching tents. I had a Boy Scout in my house, so I know exactly what that's all about. But it's bunking, you know, bunk houses kind of thing. And we also introduce them to campus ministry. And we so strongly encourage the freshmen because with this in early October and also community connections, volunteer programs and service learning, they're our sister department, and they have that community connections, that pre-fall program. We also help out as much as we can with it. But between those two programs, the freshmen, they've got a great chance at meeting people and really getting immersed into college life.
Yes.
And so we strongly encourage them to do both of those things. So the freshman retreat is the first one. The second one is the winter retreat, and that's coming up in January, that first weekend that they get back from January, you know, Christmas break. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's open to all. And last year, that's the fun part about it, because we can design it almost any way we want to. So last year, when I was still fairly new, I said, wouldn't it be nice if we had a retreat based on a spiritual classic? And so in prayer, we all know how the Holy Spirit works. Mm. I kept hearing, you know, God was trying to tell me Interior Castle. I kept hearing St. Teresa of Avila's book in my head. And I had finished, I read it years ago. So I pitched the idea to the chaplain at the time, and he teased me. He said, you know, Lorraine, she's no lightweight, you know. And I said, oh, I know she isn't, but I think the idea of prayer, having a retreat on the topic of prayer. So what this PMT team did at night, we simulated the walk through the mansions that was in St. Teresa's book. Started out where the room was very dark and cold, and then as they went along from room to room, you know, the room and the light in the room got lighter and lighter and lighter. There was a room of a gallery of saints. There was the room of crosses. And then they went downstairs into this lighted labyrinth, and there were reflection questions on the floor. It was really, the students did an unbelievable job in planning this. And so that was the whole idea of the winter retreat. That's at Wisdom House in Litchfield, and also this year coming up in January 20th to the 22nd, it's called Becoming Who You Are, and it's kind of based on Thomas Merton's True Self and False Self. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I like that connection, you know, to the spiritual classics, and so that's the second one. May I continue? Okay.
Oh, please.
The third one is Encounter with Christ, and it's in its 29th year here at Sacred Heart. And that's the one that, for some reason, the kids are really focused on, they love to go to. So that's on Palm Sunday in the spring.
And this is open to all students of the university, from freshmen to seniors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good, so they kind of get together and get to share.
Now, what do you think causes the energy of the students in regard to this particular retreat, Encountering Christ?
Maybe it is, you know, the focus on Jesus that, that they seem to be attracted to. This year, though, again, we seem to be putting twists on things, which is great. I love the fact that we're having new ideas, new experiences. Mm-hmm. Because Larry Carroll, when he came in, he said to me about this particular one, why do they only go to Encounter with Christ once? So the policy, for lack of a better word, they go to the retreat as a retreat, and then they go as a team member. So I said, gee, you know, maybe we should come up with a new one. And so to me, the natural extension of Christ is his mother. And so I said, why don't we do one based on the spirituality of St. Louis de Montfort to Jesus through Mary.
Mary.
So this is the plan for the Encounter with Christ. And then we have odds and ends retreats, day retreats. We do a senior retreat. We had an island getaway last year with VPSL. There is a graduates retreat I'd like to talk to you about, the graduates class. January 27th is called My Spiritual Journey. That's already being advertised. Excuse me. And the last one, finally, is Busy Persons Retreat, which apparently used to be here on campus. It's for the faculty and the staff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I've been talking to, you know, HR about. So, and that's the end of the whole retreat schedule.
That's great. You know, at the end of your time with these 4 years or whatever it may be, I just wonder if there's some sort of either voiced or hoped for kind of send-off into the future. What are you hoping for?
For the retreat schedule, you mean, or just
or,
in general?
I mean, the kids in general, when they graduate and head off into their world, their lives.
Well, you know, the spiritual experience is something that's unequaled. In fact, this graduates retreat, the My Spiritual Journey piece, actually started with two things. On the freshman retreat, they asked me to give a talk. And so, because I'm a writer by nature, I still love writing. What I did was take three concepts of writing and applied them to their faith story, writing their faith story. And so I don't want to give it away with the graduate degree too much, but that whole idea of the journey and why is the faith aspect of a life journey so important? And I hope that this, at the time at SHU, you know, gets them to think about that and experience that through not just the retreats, but everything the campus ministry does. And just really to see that it really is a gem. I mean, our faith journey, our faith life is a gem for all of us. Mm-hmm. And so that's probably the closest answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what about, because I think I heard something about agencies, and probably through the service work you do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you work with any local agencies that the, let's say, Catholic Charities, the diocese or parishes do, or governmental agencies?
Absolutely. We started something, called SHU CATS, C-A-T-S. So because I was a director of religious education, when the directors call us, now we're working with St. Pius in Fairfield right now.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Two of our students on the PMT team are catechists. And so I'm glad that they chose sacrament prep, the second grade. They came into my office yesterday, and we look at the books and what they're going to be teaching that particular week. And I told them, I said, consider me as a resource person, because when I came here, I took box on top of box on top of box from 20 years of catechesis, really, and it's downstairs in the basement at Sacred Heart. So whatever they need, I said, I've learned to stay away from the music, because the students today know the music better than I do. So I don't suggest that, but I've just got so many things for them. So yes, the SHU CATS is one thing, and then we just had a Advent giving tree that was in the narthex of the church that our social justice team set up, and what they did, it was to benefit Malta House, the young mothers and
the unwed mothers.
Right, exactly, at Malta House. And the generosity was just very overwhelming to us. All the tags on the trees were taken, all the, you know, the gifts came back, so we'll be delivering them this weekend.
And that is all student.
All student. Yep, we went, we got the tree, they set up the tree, they made the tags, the whole nine yards.
It's amazing.
It is.
And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people are not aware of, how much these students are giving back to their friends, to their family, to the community.
Right.
And coming to college is a very challenging and a daring time of your life.
Well, I remember when I applied to Sacred Heart, and I just looked through the website, and I believe it was called an award-winning service program, and boy, it is. And in fact, I was going to mention, on all the retreats, we also do a service project on every single one of them, and they love it. They just really love it.
Do they... I'm just wondering what they receive from it, what you're giving. I mean, you're doing and giving to others. Do they get the idea of what they're receiving back? I wonder if they share any of that with you.
Well, they're generous. You know, they're such generous students that I tell them all, I said, you were all raised well, that's for sure. Looking from a mom's perspective, but we talk about too, like, it's absolutely true. And actually, we did go, we did the Servant Shop, which is another one day trip. We just did it last, we just went there last Saturday to Mystic, Connecticut, to Apple Rehab. It's, it's rehab, and it's also the elderly residents there. And we served them coffee, and we decorated their Christmas tree, and did all kinds of things, and a service project too. They made things for them as well, these beautiful Christmas ornaments are just amazing. Flower pots, actually, they were Christmas flower pots to put in their rooms. And we talk about, we think sometimes, yes, we're giving of our time, but as you know, when you serve, it comes right back.
Mm-hmm.
It comes right back. The look on their faces just says it all.
And, I also think that for students to have a place of solace where they can go at any given point, given the fact of everything that is happening throughout college campuses throughout the United States, even in high schools, kids coming with guns, you never know when there's going to be a lockdown someplace. So for them to know that there's this place that gives them, even if it's a candy bar, but they know there's a door open for them, I think it's very gratifying.
It is. And, I love our connection, too, to the Wellness Center. They are such an invaluable resource to us. Last year, I contacted them, and I said, gee, is there... a program that you can do for us? And she said, sure. So they came with and talked to the retreat team. Actually, it was the Encounter with Christ retreat team. And they did a couple of things. I mean, they talked about suicide prevention, you know, clues, mm-hmm. you know, things to look mm-hmm. out for. And the other thing, too, that was very helpful to us, protocol, because they do a lot of small group discussion. So each, say, you know, one or two PMT teams, PMT members are at these different tables. And sometimes those conversations can either go to a dark place mm-hmm. or a place where yeah. it gets a little, you know, you get that mm-hmm. almost agita, that feeling in your stomach that something's not right.
Yeah.
And so thank God the Wellness Center gave us this protocol to say, okay, if it does that, this is what you need to do. You bring the conversation back, then you mm-hmm. go and speak to the student, you alert the staff. So having that certainly as a retreat leader makes me feel really good. So thank God for the Wellness Center.
Yeah, there's a great, great concern about students and student life and how the environment and how things are affecting them. I wanted to ask about the chapel, now that mm-hmm. beautiful Holy Spirit chapel, mm-hmm. How that works into your program.
It is literally and figuratively the center of the campus. The building mm-hmm. is placed, you know, like I say, literally mm-hmm. at the spot where it is the center of the property itself, mm-hmm. and I think that's the way to symbolize and to remind all of us that it's the center of our lives, that faith is the center of our lives. So everything that goes on at the chapel is the responsibility of campus ministry. It could be the masses, which, as we know, happen every Sunday, and if I could just say the masses are 12 on Sundays, 12 and 7 o'clock, mm. 7 o'clock being the preferred one for the students, because we don't, we know for a fact they don't always get up too early on a Sunday, and we can't blame them for that after having such
after Saturday night.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So masses are there. We also have daily mass at 12:30, mm-hmm. Monday through Thursday. Mm-hmm. There are confessions on Wednesday. So it isn't just the mass schedule, but the interfaith prayer services. Everything that goes on in the chapel, even weddings. We have summer weddings, mm-hmm. June, July, mm-hmm. and August, I believe. So that's all our responsibility, and so that's
okay. I didn't realize the campus ministry really is responsible for everything that happens there.
It is.
I thought perhaps you were, you know, part of a mm-mm. the university runs different things. Okay.
Yep.
Very, very good. When I think of the idea of students involved, especially in a, I don't even know how to describe Sacred Heart. In other certainly WestCon was a, of course, now it's public university, but it's very much a commuter place as well as a residential place. Mm-hmm. I see Sacred Heart a lot in the same way. Do you have a difference in regard to involvement or needs for the commuter student and those students who are living on campus?
Not necessarily, Father. I think, you know, this open door policy basically is open to all. Although last year, I think we tried, the chaplain who was with us at the time, that we had masses in the dorms. Mm-hmm. And brought mass to them, you know, especially in the wintertime. I mean, we've had just horrendous winters with snow and everything mm-hmm. else. Try that for a little while. We may go back to that. I don't mm-hmm. know. As I say, we try different things. And so that was mm-hmm. one initiative that mm-hmm. I think would help the students who are in the dorm rooms. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's very attractive. I remember when my son was, he studied at Fairfield Prep, and during the Lent and Advent seasons, we would have the priest come to the family mm-hmm. home mm-hmm. and invite the students to the house. And that mm-hmm. attracted a lot of students. Mm-hmm. A lot of families came to the home for, mm-hmm. and one of the Jesuits would come and say Mass.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important.
Last year we actually had, when the former chaplain was with us, Pasta with the Padre. And it was very, kids loved it. And he was a fabulous cook. And Father Bruce would love to do that. I mean, he would introduce us to the Hawaiian culture. You know, I'm sure we'll have a lot of that island. I mean, he wants to do it, but the house isn't available, so it's a different situation.
Well, listen, you know, obviously the idea of campus ministry, a lot of fluidity, a lot of creativity, a lot of action. Mm-hmm. But believe me, our program is over. I don't believe it. Well, Lorraine, I'd like to thank you for being with us.
Okay.
And we'll come back again. To our listeners, thank you for joining us. God bless you. Have a great week.